help me out.
It's What Should I Do Crew on 94.5 PST.
All right, so Gabby's here, and she has a question for you. So I'm going to bring her on. Hey, Gabby, welcome to Chris and the Crew.
Hi, thanks for having me. So my question is, how long after a breakup do you delete your ex's number from your phone?
Well, Gabby, I will tell you right out of the gate.
Want to handle this, Joe?
This is easy. All my exes are on my phone. Every last one.
Okay, then you might not be the one to get advice from them.
Oh, you got that right. So wait, why are you asking this?
Okay, well, my new boyfriend has his ex's number in his phone, and I think he should delete it because he obviously has a new girlfriend. Like, how long do you have to cut ties with your ex? Come on.
Have you been in this situation before and deleted your ex's number, like, right away? This is what I'm getting, right?
Yeah.
I figured.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say within, like, a week. I was the one who was dumped. It's called a clean break. It's much easier to get over like that. Like, it's not easy, but you got to do it.
But what are you worried about? Are you worried, like, they're going to stay in touch?
I trust him, and he says he's completely over her, but yeah.
Okay, but listen, though, here's the thing. I mean, he could delete her number, but she still has his number and could text him.
Yeah, but if he deletes her number, that shows me that he's fully ready to move on.
Okay.
So, wait, hold on.
I see that.
No, you're saying that if someone still has their ex's number, that they are not over that person.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Gosh.
You're in trouble, Joe.
I am in big trouble, Gabby.
Like, should I lean into this and tell him he's got to get rid of his ex's number? How long do I give him? Honestly, like, if he doesn't do it right away, he's a total red flag, right? So that's what I need help with. How long does anybody have to get rid of their ex's number?
This is interesting, actually. Do you need to get rid of your ex's number? All right, so do me a favor. We're going to get you advice. I promised you we'd open the phones and let you know what everybody thinks. So just hang on there, and we'll bring you back on in a few minutes, okay?
Okay.
I need to think about this one a little bit. Yeah. I don't think, Joe, I don't think I have any ex's phone numbers in my phone. But I have to be honest, though. I'm not sure I would even remember if I do have their numbers. I have people's numbers in here. Like, if I were to really look through my contacts, there's people probably that I haven't talked to in years and years and
people
years.
People are dead. People listening.
Yeah. I mean,
let me say this, though. Here's the thing.
I do like what she said about if he's not willing to delete it. I mean, if he's like, no, if he, like, you know, really kind of picks this as a battle, then I'd be like, why?
It's a good fight. Now, let me say this to you, Chris. So
okay.
You're saying your exes might not be in your phone contacts.
No.
But some of them are on some form of social media, Instagram, Facebook, something. You have some, which you can DM somebody there is my point. So
you can
contact somebody if you try.
Any way you want. You could meet them. I mean, he could do anything behind her back. I mean, it's either going to be, do you trust him or do you not?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I think this is important to delete the phone number or not.
It is absolutely not.
What do you think?
What should she do? I can't help myself. Call the Crew now. 609-243-9778. Or tap the chat button on the 94.5 PST app.
It's Chris and the Crew. We're doing What Should I Do Crew on 94.5 PST. So here's the deal. It's Chris and Joe, by the way. The deal is that Gabby's got this boyfriend, and she found out that he still has his ex's phone number on his phone. And she's like, I don't like this. Is this a red flag? I mean, Joe's the wrong one to ask. How many ex's phone numbers do you have in your phone, Joe?
What do we consider an ex? Every man I've ever had a date with, I could text right now.
What?
I went on one date with a guy named Dan Architect. He's in my phone. Dan Architect is still in my phone.
Well, that's an interesting last name.
Well, no, he was an architect.
I know.
The other day was National Text Your Ex Day, and I said, hey Siri, text Cody.
See, here's the thing. I had to think about this for a minute. I think I've come up with, if you outright ask him to delete it and he won't, then I think that's a red flag. I do think people have phone numbers in their phone from years ago, and they may not even realize it. You know what I'm saying? People they don't keep in touch with at all. Because do you really delete numbers from your phone? I don't.
None of this matters.
So let's go to the phone. Cherie is in Princeton, one of our VIP STs.
Oh, my God. Of course I'd be the only one that called. I thought there would be at least a couple of people.
No, we have Emily. Emily is standing by. You first, okay. though.
Okay, good. One is he just outright stomps her feet and says, you got to delete it. He's going to get defensive because then that becomes the thing. Is that just telling me what to do?
But if it's no big deal, why wouldn't he just delete it and make his girlfriend happy?
You know why? Because it's for him, it's like, Joe, it doesn't mean anything. He feels that, hey, I'm not going to call her. You should trust me. So I think that it's sort of like, I think if she rephrases it, like it makes me feel uncomfortable, maybe then he'll delete it. But I'm with Joe. I mean, what's the big deal? You got to trust me. And if we're in a relationship, I mean, isn't that the most important thing?
It is.
It
no,
be,
it
yeah.
is. It
yeah.
is. Let's go to Emily in East Windsor. Emily, what would you do?
For me, it's always right away, especially if I'm the one who got broken up with. So I give myself about a week and make one of my friends delete it if I can. I don't want the temptation of calling him and seeming like a desperate fool, so I want it gone.
That's
awesome.
Actually
great.
A good
Both
point.
Both those are perfect. Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold, and I'll keep...
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah,
sorry, I was talking about it.
I know, that's okay. We always talk over each other. Good point. She doesn't want the temptation. This has nothing to do with them. I don't think she's saying she hasn't caught him calling her or anything. She just
has
knows
she?
That he's got the number in his phone, but... Maybe she wants to take away that temptation that he doesn't get back in touch with his ex.
There's a good app chat here from Steve. He said, it depends on the type of breakup. He has many ex-girlfriends' phone numbers in his phone because they're actually still friends. However, if it was an awkward breakup where she might be a stalker, get rid of that number.
I don't think they're friends because I think she would have told us. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I think she would have told us if they were friends.
Tammy says, my exes are in my phone. I don't even think twice about them. And yes, I see their stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Doesn't cross their mind.
See, that's
These
what I'm
are
saying.
Insecurities.
That's what I'm saying. So I think he's okay with it if...
Sheree had
a
point.
I think a lot of people have these numbers in their phones that they don't even remember they have. But if she were to ask him specifically and he gives her a hard time... That may be a red flag.
But Sheree raised the point of guys might just dig in to say, you're not going to control
come on,
me.
Come on, get over it.
That's true,
If it
though.
Makes your partner uncomfortable, then do something about it.
Mm.
All right, let's get her on.
She's here.
Gabby?
Yeah?
How are you going to dig in this and tell him to delete it? Or what are you going to do? Because I think that people do have phone numbers in their phones that mean nothing to them. They're never going to call them. You know what I mean? But I do say if you're uncomfortable, you need to have a conversation with him about it. And if you really want him to delete it, then he really should be okay with deleting it.
Yeah, I agree. I've been hurt before. You got to run a tight ship sometimes.
No.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, well, good luck. It's Chris and the crew. Good morning. It's 94.5 PST, your number one hit music station. So listen, I've got a new dating strategy for you.
Okay.
I didn't make this up. I saw it online, so I'm not taking the credit for it. But I do think this could kind of help you out. So if you're trying to decide, let's say you're sitting on a date, right? And you're at dinner. And you're trying to decide, is this the person I want to date? You can make it like a game, I think. And you say, okay, let's take out our phones.
And look for our ex's contact.
No. You look for their most recent emojis that they've used. So, Joe, get your phone out.
Okay.
So, look, go under, do your texting, mm-hmm. whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the emojis on, upper left-hand corner straight down.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's not necessarily most frequent, though, at that point. It's most recent. Exactly.
Most recent.
Yeah. So, you could have been having a weird conversation that morning.
Well, but maybe that's what you want to know about that person. How weird are they? So what are your top three there? Most recent.
Mine look like there's a vomit emoji in the first row.
God.
I remember I had indigestion on Sunday night, so that's when I sent that one.
Okay.
The bowling ball and pins, because I was discussing my bowling. And then towards the end of the tops there is the devil smiling emoji. I know you thought that was gonna be much more towards stuff.
I thought it would be all dirty stuff.
Yep.
I have the thumbs up. I've got the laughing emoji, with the tears coming down, and the red heart.
The red heart.
That'd be a good date.
Mm-hmm. You'd be a good date now.
You'd be a little questionable.
Where on that page, though, for you, Chris, is the Christmas emoji?
It's next. It's the fourth
next,
one.
It's number four, because I know we're hitting that season. I'd be like, this lady's a freak.
I'm already there.
This lady's a freak.
It can't beat Chris. Can't beat Chris on 94.5 PST.
Chris, we have sort of first timers on the line here this morning. You know what sort of first timers means? When you have some time off, we bring in some guest stars.
Okay.
And we had Dan in for a guest star recently, at some point.
Oh, Dan Zarrow?
Dan Zarrow. And Daisy and Aiden in Philly took on Dan. Did you guys beat him?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys beat him.
He's easy to beat.
Well, you have the namesake of this game here with you today. So it's a big comeback for you guys, all right?
It's going to be a big one. Good luck, guys. I'm going to step out. You do your thing. I'm going to come back, answer the same questions. We'll see who gets the most right, okay?
Awesome.
All right, good luck.
All right. Well, we'll give Chris a second to get out of here. Where are you guys going this morning? School, work? What are we doing?
We're dropping off at school and going to work.
All right. Well, hopefully it's a good day. We're going to make it better if you guys beat Chris. Here we go. Question number one. Wendy Williams is in the news again as doctors say she may be able to get out of her conservatorship really soon. Complete this line from Wendy's show that she was known for. You ready? How you blank.
Start the day?
You want to lock in start the day?
Sure.
I like that as a guess. All right. Locked in. Start the day. Question number two. Kristen Chenoweth's new musical, The Queen of Versailles, is getting horrible reviews. Did she play Galinda or Elphaba in Wicked? Kristen Chenoweth.
Elphaba.
You want to say Elphaba and lock it in?
Lock it in.
And the third and final question. Season 5, the final season of Stranger Things, dropping soon. A lot of buzz around it. Millie Bobby Brown plays a character on the show named after a number. What number is that?
11.
11? You want to lock in 11?
Yeah.
We're going to lock in 11. All right. Can't be Chris this morning. Powered by our friends at Al's Airport and Barn Grill in Ewing. With live music 6 nights a week, brunch on the weekends, happy hours, drink specials Monday through Saturday. Online, alsairportin.com. Al's, it's where the locals go. My own local, my 94.5 PST local, Chris Rollins, has re-entered the room because I motioned for her. Here we go, Chris.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
In Philly, their answers are all locked in. We'll see how Daisy and Aiden do compared to you now. Here we go. Your quiz starts right now. Wendy Williams is in the news again because her conservatorship may be lifted, Chris, as doctors say she might not be as sick as we thought. Complete this line from her show. How you blank.
Oh, how you doing?
Chris said doing.
Right?
Daisy and Aiden said how you start the day. The correct answer is doing.
Yeah.
How you doing?
It always reminded me of Joey from Friends.
Oh, how you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, they say it a little different. Yeah. All right, question number two for Chris. Kristen Chenoweth's new musical, The Queen of Versailles, is getting horrible reviews. Did she play Galinda or Elphaba in Wicked?
Galinda.
You said Galinda. The car in Philly said Elphaba. Kristen Chenoweth was Galinda.
Yeah.
Idina Menzel was Elphaba.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number three, Chris.
Who stopped by PST?
We'll see if we can get the clean sweep here.
Okay.
Stranger Things, the final season, coming out soon. Millie Bobby Brown plays a character named after a number on the show.
11.
Oh, I didn't even finish the question. Oh, nah. Boy, she's showing off, guys. She got it. You both got it. So it ends today with a score of 3-1. You got to give us that phrase of shame down there in Philly, guys.
Oh, good try, though.
Thanks. This is Daisy and Aiden, and we can't beat Chris.
Aw, they sounded so sad. For playing along and being good sports, we get you guys tickets to go see 5 Seconds of Summer when they come to the Camden Waterfront, the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion, on August 8th, 2026. Tickets on sale now for everyone else at Ticketmaster.com. Hang on, guys.
Listen tomorrow morning at 7:40 and 9:40 for another chance to beat Chris on 94.5 PST. It's Chris and the Crew's Daily Scoop.
This is my poll. Sabrina Carpenter is set to star in and produce a new musical inspired by Alice's Adventures in Wonderland for Universal Pictures.
This is a big deal.
This is a huge deal. This will be her first major studio lead role.
Yeah. And she's in the production. It's interesting to me. I'm like, oh, you're already on the production side. Normally, when these actors cross over, stars cross over, normally they like take a couple of roles and then they go into producing.
Well,
like,
she's done some smaller things, remember? She's been in Tall Girl, Girls Meet World.
No, no.
You know, things
yeah, but
like
never
that.
Like a but big movie big. Set. Yeah,
this
yeah.
is probably her biggest one, yeah. So there's buzz that Taylor Swift has already asked 2 of her friends to be her bridesmaids. Selena Gomez. She's already asked her. And do you remember when we saw the pictures, the paparazzi pictures of her having dinner with Gigi Hadid the other night in New York City? Well, they were at dinner for Taylor to ask Gigi if she wants to be in the wedding. Think it'll be big? Think there'll be more? Who else would it be? Not Britney, right? Not Britney Mahomes. Not yet.
No.
Is that more of like a... just a business thing?
Who knows? But also, I'm wondering about these stories when these drop. I'm like, okay, they're just putting celebrity names in there. Like, oh, Selena Gomez will... I'm not buying it, is my point. Not that it couldn't happen.
I don't even think that Taylor was Selena's bridesmaid. I don't even think she had, like, a big party
We don't think so yet.
I mean, she was a guest. Mm-hmm. But so K-pop Demon Hunter dolls are available for pre-order right now. I don't think they're going to be out for the holidays, though. That kind of stinks. But you can go check them out. They're all on the PST Instagram story, so you can check them out. The Toy Story 5 teaser trailer has been released. That's also on the PST Instagram story for you. It's kind of cute. And did you see the Northern Lights last night? We're starting to see everybody's pictures of them. So there's this severe, they're calling it severe, Joe. There's this severe geometric storm that's supposed to hit Earth's magnetic field today. So warning, they're saying it could cause problems with technology.
We hear this every time.
But it kind of never happens, right?
Well, knock on wood, yeah.
Yeah, so there's the scoop. All right, it's Chris and the crew. Good morning. It's 8:10. It's Chris, Joe, Danzaro, our PST chief meteorologist. He's going to play kind of the moderator here. So I saw this list, and I thought we could have some fun with it, of the most mispronounced words in America.
The most mispronounced words.
Yeah, and Smarty Pants over here is going to tell you, oh, these are easy. I know all of these.
Oh, I disagree with that. I think
who's
some of
Smarty
these are...
Pants?
You. Oh. I think some of these are challenging. Some of these are weird, though. So you gave me the list, and I picked out a couple that I'm going to quiz you guys on.
Why don't you quiz Joe first?
Okay. So I'm going to describe a word, and hopefully my description is obvious what hard to pronounce word we're talking about.
And you can play along at home. Say them out loud in the car you're doing in your office
Dan,
this morning.
Are you able to pronounce all of these that you're quizzing us on?
I feel like I'm moderating like the spelling bee or something where I have to be perfect on this.
We both have the maturity of those 12-year-old kids. So yeah.
I will do my best. Okay, so the first one, I'm going to go right for the top. The number one most mispronounced word in America, according to this survey, is Joe, it's a term, it's a food for a Greek meat dish that is served on a pita.
Oh,
short little word, but hard to pronounce.
Gyro.
That's the one we're talking about.
Or is it gyro?
You're
Some
both
people
wrong.
Say gyro.
You're both wrong.
Right?
You're both wrong. Completely wrong.
I actually say gyro. And I'm Greek.
There's no G sound in there, apparently. It's gyro.
Gyro.
Really?
Gyro.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone call a gyro a gyro.
So there's your most mispronounced word in America. It's
a gyro. If you walked up to a stand and ordered a gyro, I would think you were ordering a hero.
Guess if you were at an authentic Greek restaurant, they would know what you're talking about.
Probably.
Always just heard gyro.
Gyro.
That's what it looks like.
I think they would still know what you're talking about, but
they're
might
so good.
They might give you some strange looks there.
Mm.
Okay, let's stay in the category of food here. Joe, this is a superfood berry that's often used in bowls. It's known for being rich in antioxidants.
So I don't eat these. I know what it is, though.
Yeah.
I could spell it, but I'm not sure. There's an emphasis on some weird place in it. So I'm going to say acai.
What?
I know I'm messing it up.
And that is absolutely correct.
Acai?
According to this, the emphasis is on the second syllable. Acai.
Oh, gosh.
That is
I would just say acai.
My tongue wants to emphasize the S, not the E.
Yeah, I would pronounce acai. That's how I've always heard it. Is you put the
acai?
The
that's
stress
how I
at the
think.
End.
Yeah.
But
so wait, I got it.
You got it.
You actually got that right.
Acai bowl.
The first time I love pliables. The first time that I was trying to convince John, my husband, to get a pliable, he was trying to figure out how to pronounce that because he didn't know how to order. And I was like, "What are you saying?" He had no idea how to pronounce it.
I've never had one. I just know that the word
so good.
Acai is that's a good one to know if you're doing like the New York Times crossword because
it pops up. Yeah, that seems like one of those.
C-A-I.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Yep, that's it. Okay, next one. A little longer word. We're not in the food category this time. It's the breed of a wiener dog.
Okay, so I mean, I know it. Now, do I know where the pronunciation is if people are pronouncing it wrong? I'm going to say dachshund.
And I think that's exactly right.
Is there a k in it? I was going to say Dotson.
Dachshund.
Oh. Dachshund. Yeah.
I know there was a k.
It's a hard k.
I have to think that maybe that's a common error, or maybe people say dachshund because hound is, you know,
yeah,
it means dog. But, yeah. But Joe got a dachshund.
Okay. So is, he's trying extra hard because he doesn't. Joe hates to be wrong. He hates to be wrong.
After 10 a.m., I'm wrong enough. When I, like, 10 a.m. to 6 a.m., I'm really wrong. From 6 to 10, I have a chance.
All right. You've been doing so good with the food. I'm going to give you one more food here. Why? Am I making you hungry? Is
you're
that
making
a problem?
Me killing me because I don't know that. I think you've hit my max
on
food.
Well. You know all of them.
I think you're going to nail this one. It's a delicious platter of meat, cheese, crackers, and fruits.
Zero chance I'm going to get this. Zero chance. Charcuterie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh. Yeah, you got it.
I mean, people say charcuterie, not char, but char. Yeah. Just say charcuterie. That's what my friends say.
Okay, I don't think that is
I don't think that's exactly at correct. All what you're supposed
some
to say,
people,
Chris.
You know what? A lot of people, when they first started becoming popular a couple of years ago, I would just say snack board. I didn't know how to say it at first.
Everybody would know what you're
now
talking
I
about.
Now I love making them, so I know how to say charcuterie. But when it first came on the scene and started becoming really popular, I was like, yeah, just say snack board.
According to this, it's officially S-H at the beginning.
Oh, charcuterie?
But charcuterie. Emphasis, yeah, char.
Like the way, again, the way you said it, Joe.
Yeah, wow, you got it right.
I say charcuterie.
All right, let's end this first round on a weird one. And I say this because apparently this is the most mispronounced word in the state of Minnesota. And it seems weird to me that anyone would mispronounce this word wrong. It is an herb used in cooking, parsley, sage, rosemary, and...
Oh, gosh.
Oregano? No, actually,
I don't even know what you're
talking
about.
Begins with the letter T.
Oh. Thyme.
Thyme.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. Do people say thyme?
I guess they say thyme in Minnesota.
There is an H. All right, so we're having some fun this morning with the most mispronounced words in America. And I am bound to sound super stupid coming up here.
Yeah. If you want to hear some good radio, stop what you're doing right now.
Joe Danzaro, our PST chief meteorologist. Joe had the last round, and actually he did pretty good.
He did very well. And let's be fair here. These are the most mispronounced words for a reason.
Yeah.
Some of them are kind of weird, like technically how you're supposed to pronounce them.
Well, and he also had time to really think about it, and it wasn't in mid-conversation when
true.
You can't think about it. You just have to say it.
That's
well, you're
true.
Gonna have the
same
you know
rules.
I mean?
Same rules are about to apply to you, woman.
Should we have you use these words in a sentence,
oh,
maybe? You know,
yeah, she's almost asking for more work here.
You know I'm not a detail person, so we'll
here
see how
we
this
go,
goes.
Nan.
All right, well, let's jump in, Chris, and I'm going to start with the doozy. This is the second most mispronounced word in America.
Oh, jeez.
And it is a long word. It is a fermented savory condiment that is used in marinades, stews, and cocktails, including a Bloody Mary.
I know what you're talking about, and I have no idea how to pronounce this, but the way I pronounce it is Worcestershire sauce.
And I think you nailed it.
That's not right.
Pretty good.
Worcestershire?
Worcestershire. Yeah. Emphasis on...
I don't
on
say sure.
What
I just
say,
then sometimes I'll say Worcestershire sauce.
Definitely not Shire.
But it looks like it at the end.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some people out there that say like Worcestershire.
Yeah.
Here's how the internet says to pronounce it. Let's see how this sounds.
Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah,
I do
say
it right.
Said, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was kind of my compromise. Just like blending it all together and saying,
I feel like when you're in conversation with somebody about that, you just kind of blow right through that word and they know what you're talking about.
You
got
to do it fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually use it in some recipes that I have. So I actually say it. Like my meatloaf, I put a little Worcestershire sauce in it. Worcestershire. There was a time where I did say Worcestershire sauce, but I'm not doing
that
anymore.
Making it more royal.
Okay.
All right, moving on. How are you at your geography?
Well, I know the state capitals.
Okay, this is international.
We used to play state capital bingo in Cranberry School.
There are some state capitals on the list, but that's not where we're going here. This is the name of a country. It is a Middle Eastern country.
Oh, boy.
And I will tell you, it's the only country in the world that starts with the letter Q. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, mm-hmm. Qatar?
So I think that's the mispronunciation.
Oh, is it Qatar?
It's Qatar.
Qatar.
Oh, that's Qatar.
Ooh, there's controversy.
Controversy. While Qatar is a common mispronunciation, Qatar is what the government says to, so yeah, Qatar. So
but
yeah,
I feel like I have heard news people.
That's
say
what I was going to say.
Qatar,
Qatar, yeah,
Qatar.
At least,
ooh, I like Dan's the best. Actually,
Qatar. You have to kind of roll the T a little bit. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, that's good. Not one you'd use in everyday conversation necessarily. Mm-mm. Okay. Let's stay international and let's go to Paris.
Okay.
The famous art museum there that is home of the Mona Lisa. How do you pronounce that museum?
I can't wait to hear this.
Can I tell you when this place, I'm going to try to hold off here. When this place was robbed recently,
yes,
I thought to myself, "Oh, I'm screwed." My tongue just does not go the way that it should. For the, I like, is it Lou? I feel like you say Louvre. Louvre. Well, is it the Louvre?
Louvre.
That's like how it's spelled.
But Joe, say it because you like kind of trail off.
The Louvre.
The Louvre.
That's it.
But it sounds like to me like that's an incomplete word.
Pretend the R and the E don't exist. It's just the Louvre. The Louvre.
I have a hard time wrapping my brain around
Let's
that.
Let's go to the Louvre to look at the art.
So it's the Louvre.
Yeah.
You
don't have to make the V so hard, though.
The Louvre. 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 Doesn't sound complete.
It's kind of softer than you made it, actually.
So weird, that
she
word.
Walked in that morning and went, oh, crap, we're on top of that museum robbery.
Say this.
Well, now you can say it with confidence. It's just the Louvre.
Why do we have such difficult words? Do you know they say that the English language is one of the hardest languages to learn?
I'm pretty sure Louvre is French.
Well, yes.
Just throwing that.
Good morning. It's Chris and the crew on 94.5 PST, your number one hit music station. It's Chris, Joe, PST's chief meteorologist, Dan Zarrow. We are super excited to once again this year partner with the Fleming Family Foundation, you know, our friends at Shady Brook Farm, and spread a little extra cheer. We're doing Chris and the Crew's 12 Wishes of Christmas, right, Joe?
Yeah, we love this every year. So right now on our website, 945PST.com, let us know about an area family in need. It could be yourself. It could be a family that you know that's going through it. And the Fleming Family Foundation will generously read through all these emotional letters. I don't know how they receive all these in their inboxes.
There's such a greater need this year because of everything that's going on. You know what I mean? So what I like about it is it stays right here. You know, you always wonder where your donations go, right? Your donations are, you know, the Fleming Family Foundation is making sure that these are local families that we're helping.
And they are $2,500 gifts, which goes such a long way, you know.
And
this is practical things, coats and food to something under the tree or whatever that is, the magic of it.
But what I also like is, you know, the Fleming family, owners of Shady Brook Farm, are also going to make sure that the family has fun and goes through the light show and has a little, you know, festive, has a little spirit for the holidays. Because, you know, after you spend the money on what you have to spend it on, it's really no fun money.
No, exactly. And this time of year, that's really stressful.
Yeah.
And last year, you and I, you know, we get to read the letters afterwards. And there were letters from people that weren't expecting to meet. Last year, you know, there were people that weren't expecting to have that happen.
Job loss.
A job loss.
Things
like
that.
A medical emergency. Something happened. I mean, we had letters from grandparents who unexpectedly were taking care of their grandkids and were just dreaming of not having to say no for once.
So if you know anyone who's in need, nominate them for one of these holiday wishes. It's Chris and the Crew's 12 Wishes of Christmas. You can grab all the details at 945pst.com.
And if you want to support the mission this year, register. This is a great time to do it. Register for one of our favorite events, Dashing Through the Lights, right? It's going down Shady Brook Farm. You can run the 2 mile run, or you can walk the 2 mile walk.
I'll be walking.
It's going down Friday, November 21st. Register now because it's a really good chance to do it. It is the first chance. It's the first full night that the lights are on in Shady Brook.
So fun.
You run and walk through them that evening, and all the funds raised from that are what really support the Fleming Family Foundation and this mission. So if you're thinking to yourself, how can I help?
That's how
you can help. Just go for a walk.
It's Chris and the Crew's Daily Scoop.
So Joe is cracking up about this Jonas Brothers thing that's going viral.
I want to know where this guy is.
So there's a TikTok going all over the place of this guy reviewing a resume. And the resume is from a person named Scott Kelly. And he was doing it at a Jonas Brothers concert.
Yeah.
So they got wind of this. Everybody's talking about it. They want Scott Kelly to get this job that he applied for.
The resume is, they zoomed in on the guy reviewing the resume, and it's a Scott Kelly's resume.
Millions of people are now rooting for this mystery person, this Scott Kelly, to get this job.
The TikTok was captioned, Scott Kelly, your resume was being reviewed at the Joe Bro concert. Good luck.
So the Beavers started thinking about having another kid.
Yeah.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised, right? So in a new interview with GQ, Hailey Bieber said that she's going to be much better prepared this time because she had no idea what she was doing the first time, like most new moms, right? She says now she's had the experience. Now she's all ready for kid number two. She didn't say when they were going to try or anything, but I would expect another one from them. So Sabrina Carpenter is set to star in and produce a new musical inspired by Alice's Adventures in Wonderland for Universal Pictures. This is a big deal for her. This will be her first major studio lead role.
That's interesting.
Usually that takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
But she just kind of sped right to the top
there. Yeah, I mean, usually they do, like, this is her first big studio movie to star in, let alone...
And then to be producing
stuff. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And did you hear if they're closing a bunch of Wendy's?
I did.
I hope there's none around here. You know, I always say this. I haven't been there in forever, but I'm like, don't close my Wendy's.
God forbid.
They are really good burgers there.
Sure.
Like, I don't eat a lot of fast food, but they're really good.
Sure.
And come on, we can't live without the Frosties and dipping the fries in there. They haven't said what locations are being closed yet, but they plan on closing, Joe, hundreds of locations around the country. So I'll keep you posted.
I think
they're underperforming. That's good.
Well, and don't forget too. I mean, in 2026, in a weight loss obsessed society,
everybody's on the GLP. Nobody's
rushing to these fast food places.
Well, and of all the fast food places, that's one of the most expensive ones. I would say
it is. It is. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right. There's the scoop. That's new Megan Trainor on 94. Before that, yeah. On 94.5 PST. Yeah, we're excited. We're talking about the tour. I just put it up on our PST Instagram story for you. Make sure you're listening soon to win tickets. The album's dropping in April. She's going to be here in July. So, yeah. And that was, of course, Taylor Swift. You know, I heard that Taylor Swift has already asked Gigi Hadid and Selena Gomez to be her bridesmaids. So, we're starting to hear about the bridal party a little bit. So it's 9:13. It's Chris and the crew. So listen, there's a new trend in vacations. If you're looking to get away and have some fun, like some serious fun, everybody's going to their grandparents' retirement villages.
This sounds like a great idea.
Do you know, I had a friend who worked at one of these, like, you know, over 55 places or whatever. Do you know how many activities they have planned all the time?
Oh, it is constant.
This isn't like bingo, like you think your grandmothers play bingo all the time. They're playing cards. They're going to shows. They've got bus trips. They've got talent shows. They've got movie nights. They've got cocktails by the pool. So, yeah, the new trend is to say, Nana, I'm coming for a visit.
So I'm at the age now where my parents have moved into an elderly area, and I have to say I was really mad at my mom, my parents. I was like, oh, my God, so what's going on in the village? Like, what's going on here? And they were like, nothing. We picked the one with the low HOA fee because we didn't want to have to pay for any of that stuff that we're
no bocce.
Now, to my parents' credit, they would never do any of that stuff. Like, they would never never be caught dead at the old people pool to begin with.
John's aunt is in one right now. They have a baking club. They do crafts. They had a live band there the other night.
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding. Like, it's fun.
Yeah, these are the places to go.
So think about it. You're staying for free, right? Mm. You're staying with your grandparents, and yet you have access to all these activities. John Zankitz has a calendar, a social calendar slipped under her door.
And it's probably just full of, like, come on down.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all over by 8 o'clock, so you're home in time for whatever you want to do at night.
You can binge your favorite shows. You can go home
or just go to the bar after.
That's true, too. So, yeah, the newest trend in travel, head to your grandparents' retirement village.